say? Can you verify this for me? I mean, some people here don't understand. I mean, what is soul?
Allora, adesso te lo dico io. Cos'è soul? Non importa come lo fai. Più alto possibile, meglio è. Pensavi di saperlo tutto. Nel suono giù nell'Atlantico. Col miglior ritmo su questo pianeta. Canta se vuoi, non ti sbaglierai. Accendi questa bomba. L'onda è il posto dove troverai questo ritmo. Sono nato nel sud.
Welcome to Play Tapes 6. It's probably day 12. I think I started this, 5 days last week. We're into Monday of the following week. It really started, I feel like, on a Thursday when the government announced the shutdown of universities and schools. That's when we got into it. And this week's show, or today's show, has got to have stuff from... It's got a tune from a friend of mine in Cork, which I really like his stuff, so I'm really pleased and happy to bring that to you. And it's got good music, and we'll have the whole trigger warning part at the end in terms of our chat with Andrew, who kind of brings us up to speed on what the figures are looking like and where we're going with this. But I started off the day by going to the post office, and I love going to the post office. It's one of those things I like. Post office is an example of internationalism. It works. I put a stamp on an envelope and it goes to California or Timbuktu. And I've had postcards from Timbuktu, so I know what I'm talking about. So there was physical distancing happening, and the woman at the post office was really helpful because my card wasn't working, and then it started working. So that was all good, and you know, we need more of that. People were respecting that space, so that's a good start. So let's start with a bit of a tune from, I think this is relevant, because sometimes we just want a little break from it all. This is John Martin telling us that.
We'll be right back.
Notebooks, they won't help me survive. How true is all that? Yeah, that's life during wartime, and that is Talking Heads. And lots of surface noise, because that's a very old record. But surface noise is how we produce stuff these days. The other thing I wanted to include is something that I found somebody passed on to me. So here we are in Plague Tapes 6, and I'm going to read a letter from F. Scott Fitzgerald, who was in Paris around the time of the Spanish flu of 1918. So here we go. F. Scott Fitzgerald in quarantine in the south of France during the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. Dearest Rosemary, it was a limp, dreary day, hung as in a basket from a single dull star. I thank you for your letter. Outside, I perceive what may be a collection of fallen leaves tussling against the trash can. It rings like jazz to my ears. The streets are that empty. It seems as though the bulk of the city has retreated to their quarters, rightfully so. At this time, it seems very poignant to avoid all public spaces, even the bars, as I told Hemingway, but to that he punched me in the stomach, to which I asked if he had washed his hands. He hadn't. He is much the denier, that one. Why, he considers the virus to be just influenza. I'm curious of his sources. The officials have alerted us to ensure that we have a month's worth of necessities. Zelda and I have stocked up on red wine, whiskey, rum, vermouth, absinthe, white wine, sherry, gin, and Lord, if we need it, brandy. Please pray for us. You should see the square. Oh, it is terrible. I weep for the damned eventualities this future brings. The long afternoons rolling forward slowly on ever slick bottomless highball. Z says it's no excuse to drink, but I just can't seem to steady my hand. In the distance, from my brooding perch, the shoreline is cloaked in a dull haze where I can discern an unremitting penance that has been heading this way for a long, long while. And yet, amongst the cracked cloud line of an evening's cast, I focus on a single strain of light, calling me forth to believe in a better morrow. Faithfully yours, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Oh my fucking god, man. Oh, fucking serious. Jesus Christ, man. Already? And time flies like a motherfucker.
Rise and shine, yet another day to toss away. What does my clock display? It says 8. Shit, I'm late for work again, so then I dip with my pad and my pen. Step into the workplace with my work face. Wince at my time card, cause I'm scarred. Mad cause I sacrifice my day and it gets me a trifling hourly wage of 650. Nifty. Now I'm off to slave quarters with a whole bunch of other people's sons and daughters. Working so they can be mothers and fathers. Laboring real hard, hoping the boss offers more petty cash to us bums and paupers. Kissing his ass cause they're hoping they prosper. Here's the math, you work a 30 a day away. The government takes a 30 a check, correct. You go home and drink cause you don't get an ounce of respect and your spirit is wrecked. Life is a gift to be enjoyed every second, every minute. It's temporary, not infinite. Yet I find myself looking at the clock, hoping for the day to fly by. So I ask myself why I'm doing this remedial work for second graders. I'm an educator with mega flavor. So maybe I should just jump up and get ill. Maybe I should let these people know they're being killed. Maybe I should try my very best to chill and get paid cause I gotta pay bills.
Excuse me, brother, could you please stop making that noise so I can talk? Thank you. Now the boss says he wants you to
hey
go
there,
make more
champ.
Copies
big
of
boss the man
check.
Says you've been late 3 days in a row.
To move
better
sharp
it up.
The basement. And I, can I have a safe one?
Oh, this fucking place sucks. Same shit every day. I'd like to wring the boss's neck, though. If only dreams could come true.
Dead boss, somebody called Red Cross. I guess he got caught up in my mental holocaust. How much did it cost? Just a little piece of my mind for peace of mind.
But he's bleeding.
Oh no, leave him, he'll be fine. He'll heal on his own if you just give him some time. Considering the fact that his face is misaligned. His legs are over there laying right next to his spine.
Lunch time! Huh?
Jesus. Must have been daydreaming. My boss walks by, he's looking just like an asshole. Smiling cause he jerks niggas for minimal cash flow. He's cool in my face, but I swear I heard him laugh though. Tickled by the fact that I'm the modern day Sambo. And just when I think that I'm about to go Rambo, I call up my man and he says he understands, yo. We all are being murdered by a similar process. Whether you work at the candy store or slave at the office, the purpose of our life is just to serve the economy. They misinform our minds to paint a picture of harmony. But if you're listening, you know that shit's out of tune. Cause the function of our life is just to work and consume. Fuck reaching out to help the next, there ain't any room. Just close your eyes and block your ears and march to your doom. But since I ain't really getting paid for my time, I pulled out my pen and started writing a rhyme. Can't you see that I'm busy, jerk? Don't dare approach me with busy work. Take another step and get hurt by the man that embodies mad years of anger. A cool bro, soon to be the Boston Strangler. Everything inside of me is about to erupt, cause a righteous individual dislikes the corrupt. I knew he'd lock me up if I started a brawl, so I jetted and I punched the clock the fuck off the wall. Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. You can't keep on underpaying people and mistreating them all the time. That's gonna result in crime. As a matter of fact, you know what? Facts. Yo, cut this motherfucker, man.
Nine to one. Nine to one.
Think he is, though. Trying to pay me what, six what? Nick? Yo, I'm a man of the 90s, B. Oh, my bad. New millennium 2002. Yo, I got plans, man. I got big plans. We'll be right back.
The tap, once you're clean round the bend. You give me the horrors, too bad to be true. All of my tomorrows are lousy cause of you. You put the shat in shatter, put the pain in stain. Your germs are splattered about, your face is just a stain. You're certainly no raver, commonly known as a drag. Do us all a favour here, wear this polythene back. You're like a dose of scabies, I've got you under my skin. You make life a fairy tale, grim. People mention murder the moment you arrive. I'd consider killing you if I thought you were alive. You've got this slippery quality, it makes me think of phlegm and a dual personality. I hate both of them. Your bad breath vamps disease, destruction and decay. Please, 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 please take yourself away. Like a death at a birthday party, you ruin all the fun. Like a sucked and spat out smarty, you're no use to anyone. Like the shadow of the guillotine on a dead consumptive's face. Speaking as an outsider, what do you think of the human race? You went to a progressive psychiatrist. He recommended suicide before scratching your bad name off his list and pointing the way outside. You hear laughter breaking through, it makes you wanna fart. You're heading for a breakdown. Your attitudes, platitudes just make me wanna piss. What kind of creature bore you? Was it some kind of bat? They can't find a good word for you, but I can, twat.
never seen you looking so bad, my funky one. You tell me that your superfine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you. Have you ever seen a squawk's tears? Well, look at mine. The street have all seen better times. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell. We'll be right back.
Yes, I had to switch it off eventually. I had to break the flow somewhere. There was lots of stuff in that. I think we started with Mr. Liff from Live from the Plantation, all about bosses, and we dedicate that to all the hard arses and arseholes who won't let people off and make people work in unsafe conditions, because that's not on. But you know what? There is going to be vengeance for this stuff. Decisions that are made now, people are going to pay for later on. Sabres of Paradise with Tow Truck, Depth Charge, which brought us into a kind of whole dub set, which was Paul Hunter, also I think maybe related to Depth Charge again, because it was on his DC label, and that was Dub Radiation. Then we had, you had John Cooper Clarke relating one of his poems, Twat, which we'll send out to the coronavirus itself. Then we had Blue Circle from Darkening Man. That's Darkening and Man, two different people, I think, working together, collaborating on that. Then we had Steely Dan, which was, I've really got into since reading the Ian Penman book, and any major dude will tell you. Then we had Susumu Yokota with Black Sea. And now we're just going to go into a tune by a friend of mine. So before we do that, on Galar Dove, and I think, I'm not sure what the tune is called, but anyway, look out for it. It's good. It's good. I wanted to also read you out a tweet from not now or day, today nor yesterday, but this is from Samuel Pepys's diaries. And this would have been back around the time of the Great Fire in London. So we're talking about the 1700s. And it goes, the taverns are full of gadabouts making merry this eve. And though I may press my face against the window like an urchin at a confectioner's, I am tempted not by the sweetmeats within. A dram in exchange for the pox is an ill bargain indeed. You got to remember that. Just like we all have friends who are like Hemingway. When you tell them the bad news, they punch you in the stomach. All right, and Galar Dove, take it away. Plague Tape 6, Dr. Groove, bringing you the tunes. Thank you. The beautiful sounds of Mount Zion, Silver Mount Zion, and that is 13 angels stand guarding your side by the side of your bed, standing guard at the side of your bed. That was it. That was beautiful. And before that, we had Gang of Four with A Man in Uniform, and somebody recently passed away from Gang of Four. They're a really good band. Great, one of the great post-punk bands. One of the best, I would say. Before that, we had Libby Floyd with Electro Buzz. And we started it all off with my friend on Galler Dub from Cork. Proud native of Dripsy, giving you the tunes, bringing you that tune in particular, that dubby track, dubby electro track. So, yeah, look, let's keep doing what we're doing. We're keeping physical distance. This show is about social solidarity. It's my contribution. I want to say thanks again to Donal and to Andrew Donal for keeping the Radioactive on Between the Ditches, and for Andrew, who's going to do the part now, which is this is the trigger warning part. There's also a link, there should be a link to that graph. Then also, importantly, a proper way to wash your hands, because I have difficulty with that, and this video is very easy in terms of showing you what to do. So there will be the update from Andrew. So if you don't want to listen to facts about COVID-19 and possible death rates and stuff like that, then you should skip 15 minutes ahead, and then there'll be a final tune, and that'll be Plague Tape 6. Hope you enjoyed it, and tell your mates and tune in again. And there should be another one tomorrow, which will be, oh, who knows, Plague Day 13, maybe Plague Tape 7. That's what it'll be on our calendar anyway. Welcome back to the serious end of the show, which is Plague Tape 6. We're on to day 11 of the plague, and Andrew's here with the latest updates. So what's the takeaway news from today in terms of cases?
Oh, headline numbers just announced. So 219 new cases, bringing us to 1125. So we're well into double digits, treble digits, quadruple digits now. And two deaths, which I think brings us to five deaths. So that's kind of where you'd expect the numbers to be. But as I've been talking a lot with people today, we have a problem in that there's a big backlog of tests. People have been talking about a number as high as 40,000. The National Virology Lab seems to be able to do about 1,500 a day. So that would give you about a three-week backlog before they test every one of those 40,000. Now, that number's that high because they've switched to anybody with symptoms needing testing. So, you know, that doesn't mean there's 40,000 positives out there by any means. It'll be a smaller number. But, obviously there needs to be some way of plowing through that backlog quite fast, because otherwise we don't really know where we are.
Okay, and then the other thing is, we had this 1,500. Was that 1,500 or 15,000 figure? There's a 15,000 figure, which was the optimistic.
Oh, Leo's optimistic projection. Yeah.
When were we supposed to hit the 15,000 figure?
Well, he said the end of the month, but okay, we may not have cleared the backlog of tests by the end of the month. So, the problem is the numbers are all a bit kind of all over the shop because we don't know that. And it makes it hard to compare with other countries because I don't really know. I mean, we know America and Britain haven't been testing anything like enough people.
Yes.
So their numbers tend to be a bit rubbish. Italy, that also seems to be the case, which is part of the reason why the apparent death toll is so high. Like, it's pushing up towards 10%. It's probably no more than half that, which is scary enough. It's very hard to compare international numbers.
So now, that's probably a good point to explain. We'll put in the link with that graph that you can actually play around with, the epidemic graph.
Right, yeah. Lots of useful tools are coming online, and I found a great one this morning, which is one that you can put in all the different factors that influence how contagious a virus is, and they're pre-entered for COVID-19. And then what you can do is you can drag a slider to adjust the R0 number, which is the amount of people that your average person infects. It's estimated to be between 2.2 and 2.4 for COVID-19, which is high enough. And so you can see what happens if by physical distancing we can reduce that number down towards one, which is when the amount of new cases stops accelerating.
Start to push the curve down.
Push it down, yeah. And then push it down beyond that. Wuhan got it down to, I think, 0.34. So if you put it on that, you actually see the cases collapse quite quickly. So it's a good illustrative tool that explains the importance of social distancing, testing, and all those other measures we can take.
So there's a good, but also in the news today, there was some good news because they were saying that they seems like the cases that were positive hadn't infected as many people. So we were beginning to see the results of physical distancing.
Yeah, so what they're doing with cases is they're doing a thing called contact tracing. So if you're tested positive, they then try and find out who you've actually met. Yeah. And then they try and contact all those people in turn. So that therefore means they have a number for, on average, how many people a new case has been in contact with. And apparently that number has gone down. They weren't specific as to how much. I think it was Harris said that this morning.
Okay.
So that's good, because that means that 2.2 figure we've talked about will be coming down already. And that actually, even a 10% drop in the number of new cases has a massive impact when you're looking at 10 days out from today.
Multiplier effect.
Yeah, like the multiplier effect, it's disastrous when you look at it over 10 days, but it also means if you take a little chunk out of it, actually that has quite, that can be the difference between having 100,000 cases and having 50,000, literally,
Okay, so here's another question that's been intriguing me. What if you actually have COVID-19, you go through it, and then get tested after you've had it? Does the test show up saying you've actually got it?
No, if you're actually completely over it, it probably wouldn't, because the test is for the virus DNA.
Right.
There is another test that is getting pushed a bit online, and that actually tests for antibodies.
Right.
So that's actually would be better for people at the end or recovered, but it's actually not so good for people at the start, because your body may not have produced many antibodies yet.
But we're only doing...
We're just doing that DNA test. Not a DNA test, an RNA test. So it's actually testing for the viral RNA. That's the nose and throat swab one.
Okay, and then the other question I had is, as people go through this, like say you're somebody who has gone through the symptoms and they can find a test that says that you have it, so you've obviously got immunity. Could you see that a case where those people are starting to be used as volunteers in the, could you see places being opened up for them where they could serve a useful function in relation to having already built an immunity against COVID-19?
It's probably pretty limited, because most of the roles where people will be getting a lot of exposure are also roles where they're relatively high skilled. So, I mean, the classic problem is, I think 20% of our cases are healthcare workers.
Okay.
Because healthcare workers are obviously quite vulnerable to catching it, because you're being coughed all over by people with it all day.
But say a marketing executive isn't really
Exactly. They're of less use. I mean, and you could get a marketing executive to direct the traffic into a testing centre, but I mean, I guess they could be the person filling out the forms on the desk with a little bit of training.
I suppose you could limit, you're also limiting though, if you're taking that job away from somebody else. I don't know, if healthline workers are doing that, you'd hope they aren't. Okay, so in terms of internationally, who are the countries that we should be looking to model ourselves on in terms of who are doing the testing properly? South Korea, or is it who are?
I think South Korea might be the most useful model to be thinking of, because they're not following a particularly draconian route, right? So, it's not like China, which is, big authoritarian police state and could shut everything
military
down.
Military state.
South Korea's was very much based on testing. But the other reason it's useful is actually because they had a big problem. Like, they were peaked at 840 new cases a day. So a lot higher than us. But I think we will get to 840 new cases a day. We're not that far off it now. That's probably... Right. 6-7 days away we might be at that. But then they got it right down to yesterday. The last figures announced were 64, right? So, they were four times higher than we currently are, yeah. And now they're back to being about a quarter of where you currently are.
And they're doing like proper testing, are they?
Yeah. So what they're doing is interesting. One is lots of testing, and the second is they're using basically app tracing. So if you test positive, you're then being traced on an app. So that works in terms of quarantining, but it also works in terms of sending warnings to other people who might be around you, i.e. That's not going to work for us under GDPR, for obvious reasons, because that's like confidential medical information being pumped out into the internet, essentially. Right. But in a certain sense, we're substituting this contact tracing idea for that. It's been a very labor-intensive form of the same sort of idea.
That's interesting, though. But if you test positive, surely you can give a disclaimer. You could sign a disclaimer that says that people can contact you, would volunteer that information.
Well, I guess the other problem we have, so South Korea has a very fast test result thing. I guess they must be testing for the antibodies. That must be their main okay. testing form.
Right.
Because they're talking about turning test results around in as little as 15 minutes. Now, that can only be the antibody test, which is a bit like a pregnancy test. It's not identical. Works off a drop of blood. The problem with the antibody test, as I said, is it's not that accurate in the early stages, but then if you're rolling that out on a massive level, so you're getting thousands of these in constantly, the fact that you're missing 3 people out of 100 initially is still going to have a huge dampening effect on your new cases. It's probably, you know, it feels like our current model feels like it's a mixture of different things, none of which are working terribly well, and that needs to be perhaps thought through a bit more, although I wouldn't pretend to have, like, I'm not a doctor, so I wouldn't pretend to have a massive understanding of it. And I would imagine that to a certain extent, this is us initially doing what we can. And then there's probably long meetings going on in terms of people arguing about what other things might be done and be improved on, and hopefully they come to some good conclusions. I mean, the thing one of the problems we face is the HSE as a body doesn't have a lot of trust in it. It doesn't have that trust because in the past it's covered stuff up, like the cervical smear scandal being the one that everybody will know about. And to be frank, some of the advice that's came out has been essentially wrong. Like, it's been more about reassuring the public and trying not to have panic, or trying to deal with the fact there's a shortage of medical masks by telling people they made no difference. I mean, that's clearly not true. Yeah. Every East Asian country is using mask deployment as part of its fight against it. So there is this sense when you have the HSE spokespeople getting up and saying stuff, you're like, well, I wonder if it's true this time. It may or may not be. And that's kind of disastrous. So I think they need to be much more forthcoming in terms of the information they're giving out.
Open and transparent.
And they need to get rid of the spin. Like, the spin is just doing damage in the medium to long term. It's not going to get us through this.
That's cultural change, though. That doesn't
necessarily
happen.
That's a very big cultural change. I suspect it might mean they need to change some of the people at the top.
Yeah, it might take some initiation from the leadership. Yeah. God, we say it.
Yeah, no, because the big scandal that has to be mentioned is this question of there not being enough PPE, so masks and gloves and visors for the frontline medical staff that are actually dealing with patients. And the HSE has been making all these noises last week. It was like, oh no, we have all that planned, it's fine. And it's like, I was hearing from people working in hospitals that they were running out 3 days ago. So
it's interesting that the exact same thing was on the news on BBC today, where there was this health spokesperson for the NHS saying that we don't have enough kit in terms of dealing with just the initial cases.
Yeah, and from looking into it,
the early stages of this.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I mean, the issue is, it seems bizarre, but it seems that planning for a pandemic was based on the assumption they'd be able to use the usual supplies, the usual sources. So,
and now every country in the world.
Well, not just every country, but of course, once news of the pandemic spread, lots of the public rushed out and bought themselves a box of masks or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It meant that emptied the local supply chain.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, like, it. The big bureaucracies tend not to plan very well, and we're seeing that. And the problem is, it also looks like they're not being very agile and shifting as quickly as they need to, you know, to deal with those new situations. Because, I mean, there's workarounds. People can, you know, there's factories in Ireland that could almost certainly switch to making medical masks. You know, people can even make them at home. There's programs like that happening. Yeah. There's some hospitals in the States that are running very low on stock are looking at recycling them. So there's papers online where they're sterilizing them with UV light. So there's a whole string of things that are not standard practice, but these are times. And you do have a sense of concern that it looks like nobody's willing to break the mold enough to go, hey, maybe this is something we need to do.
Yeah, we need faster, snappier decisions, and we can't wait for a big ship to turn.
I understand why rule following is very, very central in normal times, but we're kind of outside normal times, so you need a little bit of
in a war.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? We're going to show, hopefully I'm going to...
No, I mean, the only thing I'd say is...
that washing hands thing.
Yeah, what's really important is, I think, looking to the experiences of the East Asian countries, because several of them have now successfully either shut it down or greatly contained it. They certainly haven't seen the exponential growth curves. You know, they've seen peaks and troughs. So they're obviously doing something that works. So to a certain extent, I think if all of them are doing masks as part of the, you know, people in the public should wear masks, we should be going, okay, evidence is a little bit uncertain, but it's working there and they're all doing that. So, you know, go out with a scarf over your face. You know, don't be buying up medical masks that the hospitals need. But, you know, if you want those, order them from China. But, you know, there's snoods, there's all sorts of tea towels, cotton mixed t-shirts. Like, there's a whole lot of things that actually make stuff that's almost as good as masks, and yeah, definitely looks like they help in with transmission rates. So
I can help you with the whole style advice there. That's definitely just right up my street.
All right.
Okay, thanks for that.
Something, but I'm not show up. The middle of the vortex. The wind picked up.